The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning, and welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, but this morning we are as close to you as your home. We are a Unitarian Universalist congregation dedicated to building a reservoir of strength through connection, reflection, and service. I am Linda Weaver, president of the Thomas Paine Board of Trustees, and I want to personally welcome you this morning. Wherever you are on your life journey, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, whomever you love, whatever your gender, identity, or expression, we welcome you into our ever-expanding circle of compassion and caring. If you are visiting us today, you will notice in the Zoom chat a link to our virtual visitor card. This is a way for you to connect with us and us with you. Please fill it out at any time during the service. Thank you. And now we will begin today's service with David Drum lighting the chalice.
The late Representative John Robert Lewis was an American statesman and civil rights leader who served in the United States House of Representatives for Georgia's 5th Congressional District from 1987 until his death on July 17, 2020, at the age of 80. This week's chalice lighting words are as follows. On July 26, 2016, Representative John Lewis tweeted, "The right to vote is precious, almost sacred. It is the most powerful nonviolent tool or instrument in a democratic society. We must use it."
Thank you, David. And now we'll have Preston Lutweiler lighting the peace lamp.
After I light the peace lamp, your response will be, "And with all the people of the world." May peace be with you and with all the people of the world.
Now, our gathering song this morning, entitled "The World Needs Your Voice," is written and produced by Jim Scott and the UU Troubadours. Please enjoy.
Won't be victims, won't be afraid. We got to heal the broken world we made. Make a change,
make a change,
make a choice.
Make a choice.
The world needs your voice. Register your intention. Rock the boat.
Rock the boat.
You can't complain if you don't vote. Express yourself. Get everybody else. The world needs your voice. The world needs your voice. The world needs your voice. Make a change. Make a choice. The world needs your voice. Raise your voice, now is the hour. One voice than many, speak truth to power. Cry in anguish, shout and rejoice. The world needs your voice. The world needs your voice. The world needs your voice. Make a change, make a choice. The world needs your voice. The forces of exclusion, obfuscation, and confusion. The heads of power, those in the shadows, will feel the rising tide to know which way the wind blows. Raise the spirit. Raise a groundswell. Raise consciousness. Raise a little hell. Bass resounding. joyful noise. The world needs your voice. What the world needs, the world needs your voice. The world needs your voice. Make a change, make a choice. The world needs your voice. Help me sing the song. The world needs your voice. The world needs your voice. Make a change, make a choice. The world needs your voice. Sing it softer now. The world needs your voice. Sing it a little louder now. The world needs your voice. Won't be a full harmony. The world needs your voice. Until every voice is free. The world needs your voice.
Thank you, Jim Scott and Mike. I guess by now you figured out that today's service is really going to center around voting. I noticed that we have several visitors with us this morning, so I'd like to tell you a little bit about Unitarian Universalists. We are a spiritual community guided by seven principles. Today's message focuses on our fifth principle, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. It's my pleasure to introduce someone who is fighting for our democracy, Sarah Mullen. Sarah and the American Civil Liberties Union are battling to protect the democratic process in the upcoming election. Sarah Mullen started at the ACLU of Pennsylvania as a volunteer in its Pittsburgh office in 1997, 23 years ago. She joined the staff as the office manager in January 1998 and became assistant director of the Pittsburgh chapter in 2000. Sarah transferred to the Philadelphia office in November 2002. She currently serves as the organization's advocacy and policy director. Founded in 1920, the ACLU is the nation's foremost guardian of liberty. It is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to defending and protecting our individual rights and personal freedoms. Through advocacy, public education, and litigation, the staff and volunteers work to preserve and enhance liberties grounded in the United States and the Pennsylvania constitutions and civil rights laws. So with no further ado, I give you Sarah Mullen.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. Before I forget, I'm putting my email in the chat in case people have follow-up questions. I normally do these kinds of things where there's more chance for question and answer. So I'll also stick around at the end, but you can, at the end of service, you can also just email me if you have questions, because that is certainly, I would say, the most confusing election in my lifetime. So I'm going to talk a little bit about voter suppression and what's been going on in Pennsylvania. And I'll say that's not a term I use lightly. You know, there's definitely states where in the past that has been very, and certainly times in our country, that's been very accurate. But in Pennsylvania, more of the problems have been, quite honestly, incompetence and the lack of respect for infrastructure for voting, and so a lack of money going into those. So, you know, when other places are having, we're having their early voting cut, or, you know, reducing the number of polling places, all those kinds of things, that didn't really happen in Pennsylvania. The biggest problem in Pennsylvania was one, our outdated system, where until this past fall, you could really only vote at the polls unless you had a very specific reason, you were out of state or out of town, and you had an illness or a disability. And then you needed to include information on that form with your doctor's information, which seemed incredibly invasive. So the only exception to that, I would say, is the attempt to get voter ID passed in Pennsylvania, which we and a number of our allies sued over the voter ID law and overturned that a number of years ago. So this year, obviously, things are incredibly different. So first, what we're battling is just confusion. The law that was passed in 2019. So we and our allies have been advocating for vote by mail with no excuse for years. It was one of the few voting reforms that we pushed that seemed to have some Republican support. Ideally, we'd love same day registration, real early voting. We don't actually have early voting here. It's a weird form that I'll explain, but so those kinds of reforms have been what we're interested in. Just had no idea that the voting by mail would be so relevant. So there's a lot of confusing things because that law was not terribly well written. It's also the first major election that we've had using this law. So there's so many bugs to be worked out. So one big chunk of problems that we are dealing with is just confusion. There's a lot of litigation going on. Different counties are handling things differently. There's constantly new guidance from the Department of State coming out with the mail problems. Like those are all a whole huge bucket of things we've been trying to work with and work with counties and work with voters, with people not getting their ballots and things like that. There've been change on the naked ballot issue, which I suspect that all of you have heard more than you wanted to about naked ballots, which just means that they don't have the secrecy envelope, which in the primary, Department of State said those should be counted. The state Supreme Court in Pennsylvania said, no, those should not be counted under election law. So that's been a big piece, is educating people about that. Where some of the confusion is that some counties are actually, so they're not allowed to open up the ballots and start pre-canvassing, opening them up and flattening them out and all of that until 7 a.m. on election day. So I admit I didn't think there was any way that they could really tell somebody forgotten their secrecy envelope until it was really too late. But there's a machine in Philadelphia and a few other counties where they run the ballots through, and because of weight, they can tell if one is naked or not. And so they can then cancel that ballot and then to contact the voter and let them know that they need to either go out and vote in person. So it's just like ongoing, everything is changing constantly, but some counties aren't doing that. So we encourage some county, we're trying to encourage counties to do that, but there's always the chance too that there might be litigation. So I will talk about litigation in a minute. There's also issues of lacking signature or forgetting to fill in the address or the date. If you don't put your date on your outside envelope, then that's going to be invalidated. So there's those many, many things around voter confusion. Then this was the first time in a number of years we really had seen a push to get some very restrictive or problematic legislation through kind of at the last moment to definitely suppress the vote. There was a piece of legislation in June, right as they were leaving, they were trying to pass something that would eliminate drop boxes. It would eliminate the possibility for folks to go. So if you've gotten your mail-in ballot, but you change your mind, you can go to the polls and vote in person. You give them your unvoted ballot and your outside envelope. The outside envelope is critical. Give that there. They can void that. And then you can vote on the machine or however your county does it normally. But so they were trying to stop that process. They were also trying to get rid of the residency requirement for poll watchers. So poll watchers in Pennsylvania are folks who are certified by the county. They represent either a political party or a candidate's campaign. They're the only people other than the poll workers and people voting allowed in the voting, not booth, but the voting polling place. Those are official things. Right now there's a requirement. You have to be from the county where you're going to be a poll watcher. And there's a lot of really good best practice reasons for that. But this was another thing that the state legislature was trying to change. And we really fear that this would involve, given what you've seen of the Trump army, I should say again, we're nonpartisan, but it's really hard to talk about this stuff without clearly identifying which party and which candidate is really trying to stop the vote. So just want to flag that. But you might have seen these ads with Donald Trump Jr. like, go out there and create this army for Trump and go, Philadelphia's cheating and there's all this stuff going on there and you need to go stand out there and make sure things are okay. And then pictures of people with guns and camo. So that is certainly a concern of ours, that's the tone and the message for these things. And that's why we want people to be a resident of the area where they are being poll watchers. So that's one. The other thing, what they tried to do at the beginning of after they had a summer recess, they came back. And when the litigation, which I'll talk about in a minute, wasn't really going the Trump campaign's way, they tried to then get some legislation to do some of those things. But one of the things they wanted to do was create an election integrity committee. This was a House resolution. So it would not have, it did not need to go to the other chamber, and it had no ability to be vetoed by the governor. So that was, and they had subpoena power, and they, it was just very amorphous what they wanted to do there. They had a lot of whereas clauses where it basically is like, whereas the Department of State's doing a terrible job, and whereas we think there's going to be voter fraud. You know, it was really pretty clear they were signaling what they wanted to be able to do. And surprisingly enough, because sometimes I'm not sure that some folks have any shame, they were shamed out of doing this and did not vote on that. So that was a win that I admit after it started, I wasn't sure we could expect. Other things, of course, that we're seeing right now, we're really worried about violence. There's certainly been pretty not very hidden messages about violence and going to places like Philly, as I mentioned. We're also concerned about smaller areas, you know, like a small town, particularly a town that has Black and Brown voters with a very, you know, white community around it, and what folks there might, you know, come in. And we've already seen a little bit of this up in Luzerne, in Wilkes-Barre, where the drop box is for ballots. There've been Trump people circling that ballot box, taking pictures and yelling and screaming at people. And so that is of concern. We're trying to figure out what we can do there. So I hope that does not spread to other parts of the state, but we are preparing for that, which I will talk about in a second. Obviously, we all know that there have been attempts to sow mistrust in the results of this election to try to taint them, and that's been a clear, you know, plan and strategy from the beginning. So we do have concerns about that. I just want to stress, and again, you probably already know this, like there's not going to be results the night of the election. Something like, was it at least close to half, I think, over half of ballots in the primary that were cast were mail-in ballots. We expect maybe something is that high in the general. And so it's going to take a while to count them. Some counties have said they're not going to count them on election day or even start counting them on election day. They're going to wait till the next day to do that, which we think is a little bit of a problem. So it's going to take a while. And then we expect there to be some attempts to challenge some of these mail-in ballots. You know, it's very hard to challenge a vote done at a polling place on a machine as part of that process. So that's why we're a little concerned about the mail-in and votes. So the Trump campaign, just a second. Sorry, I've become addicted to Coke Zero to keep me going during this time. The Trump campaign has been throwing everything at the wall litigation-wise. So they filed over the summer to eliminate drop boxes, to eliminate the residency requirement for poll watchers, and voiding the and not letting people void those ballots in person, very similar to the legislation they tried to pass. I should say that they've lost at every step along the way of all of their litigation, but some of it doesn't have to win in order to suppress the vote or cause a problem. Like their litigation around drop boxes, that was drawn out enough that a number of counties decided not to do drop boxes. They were afraid that those were going to be found, you know, not kosher. And so they did not purchase a lot of drop boxes or invest in that infrastructure, which we think is a problem given what we've seen. They're also have filed multiple suits that have no merit, but again, are enough to bring these issues out there. They've filed litigation saying there are dead people on the rolls, sued Department of State that there are so many, you know, thousands and thousands of dead people on the rolls. They have filed around what are called satellite election offices, which often get called early voting sites. So in Philadelphia and a few other counties, they've created these as a place for people to, they call it early voting, but it's not really early voting. It's you get your mail, you can go apply for your mail-in ballot. They hand it to you, you fill it out, you return it right then. So in a sense, it's early voting, but those votes don't get counted until after they get counted with the rest of the mail-in ballots. They're no different than sending your ballot in. At least you do know it definitely reached the county. I've been pretty amazed to see people standing in line for hours and hours for these. So that's been sort of uplifting to see that people are willing to do that. But the Trump people tried to send people into these election offices. And unlike polling places, election offices, there's no requirement that you allow poll watchers in there. So they tried to sue over that and lost. They sued over that in Philly, and they've sued over it in Allegheny County and lost both times. The state Supreme Court, so some of this litigation was done in state court, and the bulk of the Republican legislative litigation has been filed in federal court because they think they'll have friendlier judges there, and the makeup now of our US Supreme Court. So we at first didn't think that was a great strategy because we didn't think that there was a chance. I mean, this is all state law issues that we thought everything really would be in state court. And that's kind of what the first judge said, Judge Ranjan in federal court, that we need to wait and see how things play out with the state Supreme Court before we move on any of these things. One of the things the state Supreme Court did say in one of its rulings was that they extended the deadline for returning mail-in ballots. So under the laws it's written, you needed to return them by 8 p.m. They need to be received by 8 p.m. in the election office. So, you know, even if it was postmarked and you'd had it in the mail for a week, if it didn't get there by then, those were not going to be counted under the law the way it's written. Because of COVID, the state Supreme Court ruled that for this election, they would count ballots that were postmarked by election day and received by 5 p.m. on Friday. The problem, so that sounded good, and everyone changed their information on their websites and the materials they're handing out and explain all that. Although we've always had a just get it in now thing because we don't message, because we don't, there's just too many problems with the post office these days. So they've tried twice now to go up to the US Supreme Court over this issue. The latest ruling from them, this is where the new Supreme Court justice did not weigh in on this one. They said, well, we're not taking up now. There's not enough time between now and the election, but this does not preclude going after these ballots after the election. So this was really put out there as a win in a lot of ways, but you really had to read the fine print and understand that they were just delaying this, which is terrible. I just can't imagine. We're already so concerned about overwhelming voters and confusing them with information about things because things change so much. But this is just really difficult. And the Department of State has ruled, or has sent guidance rather, to counties. Any ballots that come in after 8 p.m. on election day, you need to segregate those because there's potentially going to be litigation around those. So we're really putting the message out there, like, don't send your ballots in. Really go do it and go drop them off in person or a drop box. Make sure you're not dropping it off for someone else. That was another thing we saw the Trump campaign do. So legally, you're not allowed to drop off someone else's mail ballot. Even if you're married, you know, your kid, whatever it is, you can't drop off someone's ballot. And there were people in Philadelphia for the Trump campaign videotaping drop boxes and trying to catch people doing this. And part of the issue is that whatever else is in that drop box, if you don't know which voter did that, potentially they could invalidate all those votes. So, yeah. So here I am to cheer you all up. So it's been a crazy, crazy time. I should mention sort of what we're doing to fight some of this stuff. So while most of this litigation is directly between the Trump campaign and either counties and or the Department of State, we as the ACLU and our allies, Public Interest Law Center, Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights, and our national ACLU office, the Voting Rights Project, we have been involved in filing what's called an amicus brief, so a friend of the court brief in these cases, and as well as an official intervener. We are an official intervener in the litigation that's gone up to the state or to the US Supreme Court. And what that means is that the courts have acknowledged that we, on behalf of voters, we have clients like Common Cause and a number of voters, groups with voters in them, that we have an interest in protecting voters' rights that are different than Republicans or Democrats' right or their interests. We're here to protect the voter no matter who you're voting for. That's what we're there to protect. So that's why we've been allowed to file litigation or file briefs in these cases. A lot of them have been done on the papers and we're the ones supplying the experts on a variety of these issues. So I think it has been definitely a value add to have us involved in those. So what we are doing as a team. So we have an enormous election protection coalition. We're always working on voting rights issues in off election years. That's usually around legislation. But since January, we've been planning out election protection for this year. little did, I mean, I always knew 2020 was going to be a nightmare, but I clearly could not have anticipated how much of a nightmare all of this is turning out to be. And so we have, so it's Common Cause, Pennsylvania Voice, ACLU of Pennsylvania, and then another 20 groups that are all part of this, but we're the steering committee, these three groups. And what we are doing is we have a multi-pronged approach. So like I said, we have our team of lawyers and they're involved in the big picture litigation. We've also lined up volunteer attorneys to help voters. If you have your ballot, if your application for voting by mail is rejected, your voter registration was rejected, any of those issues, we have lawyers on call to help with those, and lawyers to go into election court on election day, and lawyers there to represent folks whose vote by mail ballots are challenged. There is no requirement that voters be notified if their mail-in ballot is challenged. So you won't know. So we are working with some of the counties to try to get that list of the challenged ballots. So far, there was one of the deadlines for challenging them on certain criteria was that they're not a valid elector was on Friday. We were surprised at kind of how few people were challenged, quite honestly. There were about 227 folks in Allegheny County and just like two in Lancaster. And that was really it statewide, as far as people whose ballots were challenged. And a lot of those in Allegheny County were people who sent it in, but then died before election day, and those are not valid. So that's what a lot of those are. So it looks like what really the Trump campaign is putting their chips on is going to federal Supreme Court. So that all is going to be interesting. But what we're doing to help individual voters, I mean, the litigation's super important, but voters every election cycle need help and have a lot of questions and experience problems. So we have Common Cause is fielding 2,000 field volunteers across the state. There are a number of other groups that are also fielding their own teams of volunteers. And these field folks are trained in de-escalation now. That's just the first year we've had to make sure to train our field volunteers in de-escalation, which says a lot about 2020. They are also there to assist. They've had training so they can help voter find their polling place, or you know, just basic things like that. Or they'll elevate a problem on the ground to those of us in what's called the command center that I'll talk about in a minute. So those kinds of problems could be signs that say you need voter ID, or they're asking for ID, or polling place is not open when they're supposed to be. And so those kinds of things all come into what's called our command center. And we deal with all of those. We have 30 some volunteer lawyers recruited, trained along with our staff in this, it's virtual this year, but these command centers to help figure out these big problems and what needs to be elevated. One thing in particular we're concerned about this year is voter intimidation attempts. Honestly, either by law enforcement or by private actors. I should say that we are also very pessimistic people at the ACLU and all of us working on voting. So we spend a lot of time anticipating the worst case scenario. So just know that about me, that that's what we do, is we are planning for all these scenarios. That doesn't mean they're going to happen. But I do want people to know, like, we are thinking about all of these things, because I periodically get emails from members or board members like, what are we doing to save the election? I'm like, we're working on it, I promise. But I should also mention the centerpiece of this election protection out in the field is this, our hotline. And I really would love it if people could share it. And our hotline is 866-OUR-VOTE. This is a national number. It is, you know, when you tell them, I think you enter in your zip code. And so it will direct to people that are trained in Pennsylvania law. When you go to that number, that's a one-stop shop. You can call that number to report, to get help for a problem now with the mail-in ballot. We've gotten a lot of those. You can ask, like, where's my polling place? Simple questions like that. This group of hotline volunteers have been trained on Pennsylvania law. They'll answer the easy questions and then bump up all the other things to us. They have a database that we access constantly to see what these issues are. So getting that number out is super important. It's nonpartisan. And like I said, it's a one-stop shop for any questions. You know, rise to the polls, anything. People can call that number. So I would love it if people could get that information out on social media in particular, because that number only works if people know about it. This year we've gone really all in on advertising that number. We had billboards for the first time. I mean, we've really tried to get that number out there, but it's always helpful if you know someone who's a voter who has a problem, get them in contact with us. So I think that is really what I wanted to cover, but I suspect there may be questions, which I will stick around till the end for those. And again, my email is in the chat, smullen@aclupa.org, and you can feel free to shoot me a question about anything related to voting.
Wow. Sarah, thank you so much for everything you do and for everything the ACLU is doing to protect our rights as citizens.
Well, it is a huge team effort. I just want to make that clear. But thank you.
We know that. And as I mentioned earlier, the ACLU is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, and it's supported by passionate individuals like all of us on this call, many of us on this call, and they do protect civil liberties in Pennsylvania and across the country. So in the chat, I have posted the information on how to support the ACLU. As you can imagine, fighting these lawsuits is incredibly expensive, and there's ways that we as private citizens can help. It's by supporting groups like the ACLU and the work that they do. So that is in chat for any of you. And I noticed there are so many of you on the online today that are visitors, and I know most of you personally, and I know you are real champions and advocates for democracy. So you are, Sarah, you're preaching to the choir here in many instances.
Linda, I apologize. I'm going to jump in real quick to make one quick comment since we have so many guests. At the very end of the service, we'll be listing announcements that includes our office@tpoof.org email address to contact for various issues. Everyone should be able to see we are recording this service, and we always tend to make the recordings available to participants afterward. If you're not part of our regular mailing list, please use that office@tpoof.org email to get in contact with us if you would like the recordings and like to be able to listen to Sarah's comments again or the full service. So I just want to take a moment while everyone is still here to pass that on.
That's excellent information. Thank you, Mike. And also what I'm hoping that the folks that are here today, some of you for the first time, some of you are repeat visitors, please fill out our visitor card. We have another, all of our services I think are great, but we have another wonderful service coming up later this month that I think many of you will be interested in attending with Natasha Taylor Smith. So with no further ado, I think we're going to move into our next section, which is we're going to prepare for matters of the heart. And that's the part of our service where we share significant joys, concerns, or if you have comments about the service, you can make your comments then at that time. So, but in order to clear your mind, we're going to have one moment of mindful meditation where you can relax and enjoy this brief musical meditation.
Compassion, blow in the wind.
Now, David Drum will extinguish our chalice.
The closing words today are from Robin F. Gray. The flame is extinguished, but not our hope for the future, our courage in the face of crisis, or the love we share in all the world.
Thank you, David.
Welcome.
And now we're going to play our closing song. To be honest with you, I was never a huge fan of Willie Nelson until I heard this song. So I don't think it needs any introduction. You'll see the words on the screen.
If you don't like who's in there, vote them out. That's what election day is all about.